And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed. Glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. It is good to be here. Why are we so stilted today?
I don't know.
I don't understand. But I can be stilted as well. Like Walter Cronkite. This is Walter Cronkite. I wonder if any of our listeners remember Walter Cronkite.
Oh, I bet a lot of them do. I do.
This is, well, that says something right there.
It does. It absolutely does.
CBS.
Right.
I trespassed on his property.
Excuse me?
On Martha's Vineyard, unintentionally. I was a little kid and I was walking around and I found out later that I was actually on his property.
It was unintentional.
He didn't come out and say, "This is Walter Cronkite's property. Get the heck out."
That's a great story. I love that story. I did not
really?
Know that.
There
I did not know that.
Ed Berger, Walter Cronkite trivia. And I'm sure that's what you wanted to talk about today.
Well, it wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but, you know, things come up. You never know.
With me in the room.
With you in the room, you never know.
Correct.
You know, actually, the idea for this episode comes not from me, but from a listener, Matt.
Oh.
Matt is actually studying to be a math teacher, which I thought would be right up your alley.
I love that.
He is a fan of the podcast and a fan of yours. And he wrote in because he'd actually read a story at NPR.org about a professor emeritus. He's actually a professor of political science, who's also written a lot about education, who made an argument that advanced math should not be required. You know, algebra beyond, like advanced math.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt wanted to know and wanted to hear you talk about sort of mathematics courses as college requirements. And he specifically wanted to know if you think that mathematics courses add value to a college curriculum. And that's sort of in the context of how many people struggle with math and, you know, don't enjoy it, turn away, it brings down their GPA, they get discouraged. And
now you're depressing me. This is not good. I'm a mathematician sitting right
So this is where you sweep in now and save the day and uplift the conversation.
Like Mighty Mouse, Mighty Math.
Right. So Mighty Math. So Matt wanted to know if you think that requiring math, you know, if that adds value to a college curriculum.
Well, it's interesting. First of all, I should say, and again, as I've done in the past, I'm just speaking on behalf of myself as an educator philosophically. I'm not speaking on behalf of any group, even my own university. But as an educator, I'm not a huge fan of requirements as a rule.
Now, why is that?
Just because I think that we should own our own education. Now, I think that it's fair, especially in the liberal arts, to say, look, there are these different worlds. Like at Southwestern University, we have the world of humanities and the world of social sciences and the world of fine arts and the world of natural sciences and math. And I think it's fine to say we want you to explore and play in those different worlds. But to not say you have to take this class or this subject or this thing or this thing. And we've talked about this, I think, has been a previous episode, regret, that I'm a big fan of regret and missing something and then doing something about it, taking an action, which we talked about in a previous episode, that you got to actually kind of resolve something to get to it. So as a rule, I'm not very, you know, requirement focused. And so that's the lens through which I'm looking at this question. And now with respect to mathematics and as a mathematician, I don't believe that we should require mathematics. Now, the idea of making sure they can have very, very basic skills, you know, can you add and subtract and multiply and divide and you know, play with fractions and those kind of things, I think those are fair. And if you don't have that skill set yet as you work on your undergraduate degree, then maybe you should be encouraged or required to take certain remedial courses to kind of shore that up so you can just be a citizen of the world, you can read the paper and understand it, basic statistics and so forth. Beyond that, I am not sure what requiring more math will do for someone, especially given the curriculum. So here's an example where I think we're focusing on the wrong question. The question should be, what should a math curriculum look like for an individual who's not going to go on and become a mathematician or not going to go on and become, you know, an engineer and so forth?
Where they would use it heavily day to day on their jobs.
Correct. Uh-huh. And to me, it's not college algebra and it's not pre-calculus. And so it's all about getting people to understand that math can be understood, that you can make meaning of mathematical ideas, and that process can be exported long after you forget the quadratic formula, for example, and can be used in your everyday life to understand and probe and make meaning of anything. And of course, this is true across the different disciplines as well, but especially in math, but we don't teach math that way. Math, we teach, you know, today we're going to do the quadratic formula, tomorrow we're going to do trigonometry, then we're going to do circles, and then we're going to do slopes, and then we're going to do this, and just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it, because that's the syllabus. I'd rather we cover less material and then take that additional time, infuse it throughout all of the remaining material to have this engagement of trying to make meaning of these mathematical ideas.
You know what I'm wondering is, listening to you talk and pondering Matt's question again, what if the definition of mathematics courses were a bit different? Mm. So something that comes up when this topic, you know, when you read other people talking about it or thinking about it, is what we really ought to be adding to curricula are things like personal finance, like being able to balance a checkbook. Not that anyone necessarily carries a checkbook anymore, but being able to keep track of your own finances, being able to understand, you know, percentages, so that when you read about studies in a news article, that you really understand what they're talking about. Being able to understand mortgages and interest, and sort of, I guess you might say, applied math, or personally applied math, perhaps would be a way to say it, or mm-hmm. financial math.
Or basic numeracy.
Basic numeracy, that part of the issue here is taking some of those tools and then saying, hey, here's where you're going to encounter them, you know, when you're going through life.
And there are courses like that for non-science folks, kind of called applied math and whatnot. And now I'm speaking as a mathematician. I find those medium to medium minus, because to me, it's what's going to excite that student right now. The idea that the promise that you take this class with me, and you'll learn about amateurization, and then in 20 years, when you buy your first house, you will, and you get a C in my class, and then in 20 years, do I really want that person to figure out the amateurization of his or her loan? The answer is no. So again, it's an example of the utility of math, but it's a little bit fake. I would rather show the utility of math in their lives today, and that would persist beyond. Now again, I get back to what I said earlier, knowing what a percent is, and being able to understand if 60% is a high percent or a low percent, that basic numeracy, absolutely. And if you don't have that, then maybe you should be required to take a remedial class. But beyond that, the idea of finance, I mean, that's a great course to take if it interests the student. But to force the student to take that and say, this is the utility of math, that's not the utility of math. That's the utility of arithmetic. The utility of math is a way of looking at the world.
Ooh, I feel it, another episode coming on the difference between arithmetic and math.
Oh, let me add it, because
okay.
I've got, yeah.
Folks, it's going to be a special 8-hour edition of Higher Ed, the difference between arithmetic and math. Stay tuned.
And I'll spoiler alert, I can do one but not the other.
Awesome. I can't wait for that. So I know one thing that you can do very well are puzzlers, and it's time to introduce, we're up to a fresh one.
Correct.
So lay it on us.
Well, it's actually, I did not know what we were going to be talking about here, but it goes in perfectly with this, you know, should we be teaching algebra?
Okay.
Because I actually have an algebra riddle. And I should say that while we've been getting some great questions from the audience, you've been getting them, I think Bill a week or so ago,
yeah.
And now Matt.
Mm-hmm.
People have been writing to me, not to you, because with puzzler ideas.
And because I'm not supposed to
exactly,
know.
Exactly, right? If you saw it, then it would be bad. And so these are some really fun ones that people have enjoyed. And so I thought they were actually good enough to share. So
all
these
right.
aren't mine. These are actually other people's that shared with me. And this first one's an algebra riddle, and it's about trying to solve a particular algebraic expression.
Okay.
And so it's a very visual thing, so this is the perfect medium for that. So, you know, if you have kind of like parentheses around like x minus a,
uh-huh.
and then parentheses around x minus b,
uh-huh.
that means you multiply those two things together, and that was like this FOIL stuff you learned, the first mm-hmm. and the middles and the outers and the last, and you
yeah.
kind of multiply them all out, right? And so you can do that and keep, in some sense, FOILing or kind of expanding,
uh-huh.
Even with more, those are called trinomials because they're, and binomials rather, because there's two terms, you know, x, one, minus a, two.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. So now here's what you have to do. You have to solve the following algebra riddle.
Okay.
Take the quantity x minus a, so parentheses, x minus a, parentheses, uh-huh. multiply it by the quantity, parentheses, x minus b, parentheses,
uh-huh.
and then multiply that by the quantity x minus c, parentheses, parentheses, then x minus d, parentheses, parentheses,
oh.
x minus e, all the way down the alphabet.
I'm running out of room on my paper.
It's okay. Dot,
all
dot, dot.
All the way to
until
x minus
what?
Z?
Correct. X minus z. And the question is, what does that equal?
Wait, I think I have it.
Wait, do you want to give it away to everyone?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna write down my first thought.
Oh, she has her hand around it. Now, can I look if I don't say anything?
Yes.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm at this piece. I actually have the piece of paper in my hand.
Can you read my writing?
I can, and you are absolutely correct. Ladies and gentlemen, our wonderful host, Jennifer Staton, actually answered the question instantly. And so now the challenge, she has thrown down the intellectual gauntlet to you.
I have.
Can you solve this very complicated, expanding thing that quickly?
It's fun. I love it. It's fun.
Okay, good. Congratulations. So, that's the fastest one you ever solved.
I think it may be.
And it was algebra, so you're good at algebra.
Woohoo. I think it may be. So actually, that brings us back to just wrap up here, and let's touch on kind of another sub-question that Matt had in his questions about math and college curriculum. Is he wanted to know, so if the point of a college education is to promote lifelong learning, can a student become a lifelong learner without a mathematics course? You know, presumably in their higher ed career,
Again, it depends what the content of that math course is. If the math course is college algebra or pre-calculus, the answer is absolutely. They can become a lifelong learner without that. And in fact, if you want to look at living proof, go out into the population. Almost everyone who has taken pre-calculus or college algebra as their final terminal math class, they have forgotten it all, and they're living, for the most part, wonderful, beautiful, thoughtful lives. And so the question is, what do you teach in that course? If you offer a course that allows people to see how to take abstract ideas and make meaning of those ideas, then they can actually use that practice of the mind to actually unravel other complicated abstract things beyond mathematics. And then I would say it will enhance their ability to continue to be a lifelong learner and to basically be their own professor without the professor whispering in his or her own ear. But if it's just going to be the usual content that is typical, then I don't believe that.
Matt, thanks for your great
questions.
Matt.
And congratulations, by the way. He's going to be a math teacher someday.
Yes.
I wish you all the best, Matt, and I hope that you will inspire all of your students and show them the joy of thinking about mathematical ideas. So congratulations, Matt.
Well, thank you, Ed, for inspiring us and helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org and on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.